I'm reading from Romans 6, 1 through 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died in sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or do you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live in a new life. For if we have been united with him in his death, like his, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. The word of God for the people of God.
We're going through this series celebrating the resurrection. We're talking about a life of freedom. And something doesn't have a life of freedom right now. Actually, they do, but they don't know it at this point. That's our cat. Doggy door in, and for first years, the doggy door being there. The cat just sometimes looks through it, it's sort of clear.
The cat thinks it's in bondage and in jail. So because it sat there and it'd look and look and look for a couple of years, it'd look through the clear plastic on the doggy door, and eventually it just started swatting at it. And then eventually one day we see it swat at it, and it out the doggy door. And we really, for different reasons, we want the cat to be an indoor cat. So we eventually, as the cat's doing this more, we try spray bottles. We try everything. So we try everything to try and get the cat to quit going in and out. All of a sudden, I mean, everything. So finally, we go. I even tried putting aluminum foil in front of the doggy door. You know, they say cats don't like that, but and that didn't matter. So everything. So we finally resort to getting one of those shock collars. So, and we get one of those that has a sensor right under the doggy door. And so if it gets close, it starts beeping first, then it vibrates, and then eventually shocks. Well, some funny stories there that I won't say at first. But the thing is and I will tell you one, but eventually, of course, the cat quits going outside. And we didn't think it was going to work at first because the cat, originally when it first started having that, it thought it was the door doing it. So it just run fast. And so then it would never get to the shock. And we're like, oh, if it keeps running fast through there, because it's sort of a delayed reaction. But eventually it started happening. And then, but so the funny thing now is all we have to do, if we just take the, doesn't matter where the cat is. So all we have to do, if because it makes noise first, if I go and check it every few months to make sure the batteries are okay, we put it near there, near the door, and it starts beeping. It doesn't matter where the cat is. The cat just starts running crazy around the house because it doesn't want to get shocked. So, and the cat's not being cruel, that really doesn't get shocked at all at this point now, but if it hears the beeping. But here's the thing, the case that holds the batteries sort of broke, oh, now 5-6 months ago. So the cat has not been in bondage, has not been in that. It has a life of freedom, but guess what? It just doesn't know it. It doesn't know it, so I know eventually it'll start messing around, and probably we're going to have to get that fixed or get a new collar part so it at least beeps. But right now, the cat does not know. In fact, it gets close to the door, gets about 4 or 5 feet from the doggy door and just sits there and looks at it. But it still thinks that it can't get out. So, and the thing is, I think a lot of us are sitting in the same place. We have freedom, and we may have experienced some freedom, but there's so much more freedom we have in Christ that we don't experience because we don't realize it's there. Because we don't realize it's there. And I think there's some reasons why we don't know. There's probably many reasons, so I'm not giving a complete list. But I'll just tell you, one of those things is, hopefully it's not the case here, but I would say it's often not preached enough. We often don't hear about it. I mean, we've seen trends and that could be good or bad, or that may be partly good, but trends to sort of make things a little more sensitive and, you know, not talk about sin as much. If you're not talking about sin, then how can you talk about the freedom from sin? So, you know, there's some of that may not be preached enough. And hopefully we're not guilty of that here. I'll just be straight up. I'm not trying. This is a message about freedom. So I am not anything to put you into bondage with law and rules. But I think we're not reading the word enough. We're not reading the word enough. How do we know what our freedom is? How do we, this passage here is just amazing, some of the stuff. And how do you know if you're not reading the word? So I'd challenge you. I'd say, read it so you can find this stuff and experience it. Not out of like, I need to read the word of God. No, I need to read the Bible more. Another thing is, I think we don't hear about it enough because we don't talk about our freedom enough. And so I just put the slide up there. So, by the way, we've had this slide, and again, we're not trying to force anything. We have cards, but if you have a testimony that you want to share, God's done something in your life, we want to hear about it. I think we need to hear about it more. That inspires other people to pursue freedom and to realize that, I was struggling with that thing, and I can think someone else. I'm not even trying to manipulate them. I'm not going to bring up names, but somebody just sent me something I struggle with weight issue. I got a text, someone sharing about how they are finding freedom. They are finding freedom in that. That could be encouraging. That was encouraging to me to know that, someone else who struggles with overeating is finding freedom. And it sounds like lasting freedom. That's encouraging. So let's give testimonies. Again, talk to Anya. She's the one organizing that. But we'd love to have more testimonies given here in church and just other places. So the resurrection gives us freedom. It gives us freedom. It gives us freedom. There is power in the resurrection. Power. So before we get into this, the points that I want to get into here, I just have to start with the first thing is, there's a couple of amazing things here if we dig into some of these words here and for freedom. So I'm going to use the King James Version here just to read this passage. I think there's a little bit of hard to translate here because I'm going to go through a bunch of things. But here we have the King James says for Romans 6, verse 5. Says, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, so planted together in the likeness of his death, so we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Talking about Jesus, that we've been planted with him in his death. Here we have the NABRE. This one here says, for if we have grown into union with him through a death like his, we shall also be united with him in the resurrection. So grown into union with him. So this here, really looking into it, in my humble opinion, feel like that one captured some of what's going on here the best. But other versions say united with, joined with, become one with, grafted with. I'll talk about with Jesus in his death and in his resurrection. So we have two words there that I really want to just sort of look at, hone in on, because to me, at least, it was powerful. Powerful to just get in and look at that. So one, the word that says that we're, with many versions, joined with, in union with, that sort of stuff, in his death. First of all, this is the only place in the New Testament where that word is used. Only place. The best term in English, if we're going to go for a literal translation, is congenital. So, in a way, I think there's part of it that works, but, you know, often we're not wanting to talk about, you know, a congenital heart defect. That's a defect that's on your heart that you're born with. It's part of your heart. It's a defect, but it's part of your heart. Or whatever it might be, whatever part of your body, it's something that's there, that is part of you, but it's not quite right. Now, part of what I think is great about that, I don't think it's what it's getting at, why it's there, but it's sort of cool that in his death, we are congenital. So we, you know, we're not perfect, but we die with him. I personally don't think that's why that word was chose, but that's how much of a part of his death we are, that we're like something that's just is growing in your body that becomes part of your body. A congenital defect is part of your body. I think that's the point that's going on here, is that we were part of Jesus in his death. It wasn't just like a symbolism that and somehow in the spiritual realm, when we have given our lives to Christ, that we have become part of him in his death and part of him in his resurrection. So to me, that's amazing that we have become that one with Christ, that we're like a congenital, again, defect. So, and why, I think here's the second word. This is, again, was just nice for me to look at likeness. The word, this one means that we're just like something but made out of a different substance. And I'll just say first, it's like actually, it comes from the word that we would get homogenized milk, even though that's not quite what's going on here, where they make the milk, the watery part, and the fat somehow become one, homogenized. So that even that word speaks to what we have, what we were talking about earlier. But this word likeness, being made out of something but of a different substance. So if we had a glass vase and an acrylic vase, they could look exactly the same, right? Even though they're made out of a different substance. That's sort of what's going on here, that we are made in his likeness. We've been buried and we've been resurrected in his likeness. But even though we're not God, we have been buried, we've died with him and resurrected just like he was. Just like he was. And I also think, to me, we had a little bachelor party, saying, talk a little bit that later, a nice Christian bachelor party, so, you know, for Art, who got married, by the way, you guys are watching online, congratulations. There were, we did something sort of like it, but there was a virtual reality game there where you put things on, you have these things, I think they're doing swords or something, and we went out to Bullwinkle's with Art, Kelly and I went out to Bullwinkle's, and we had a lot of fun there, so that there was a virtual reality game. Watch those virtual reality people videos online. People act as if that's real. It's not. But those things are so real that people will jump, they'll scream, they'll do all types of stuff. They'll fall on the ground to avoid stuff hitting them. The thing is, they're so realistic. And I think sort of in a way it's that, if you take that, but even more so, because there's some reality to it. It's that this thing, this death and resurrection, we become part of Jesus. And what happened, the likeness, it's just like we were there with him. Just like we were there with him. So, we've been joined with him, become part of Christ in his resurrection. A resurrection that is just like what he went through. So we may not be Jesus or God, but our resurrection from a life of sin to a life of freedom was just like his. Just like his. Just like his. So I want to look at two things today here. What has the resurrection freed you from? And what has the resurrection freed you to? So I mentioned in our pre-service meeting, this topic, we could just spend forever on it. So if people are going, man, I wish, if I'm done, you're like, man, I wish there was more about that and this and that. Amen, I agree. I just can't put it all. So I just can't do it. So I just want to give a nod to that I can't do this topic justice in one message. So, but what has the resurrection freed you from? The first thing I'm going to say is the bondage of sin. Romans 6:6-7 says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So we no longer need to be held by the bondage of sin. Our old self was crucified in a powerful way. a powerful way. Again, if you didn't catch it, we're not just talking this symbolism. I mean, we baptize in this passage earlier, even uses all this to talk about baptism. If we go at the beginning of Romans 6, and, you know, baptism is more symbolic, but this is not symbolism. This is reality. This is reality that our old self was crucified in a powerful way. Powerful way. I found freedom from drugs pretty much right away. I found a freedom from being self-centered. I was very manipulative, and it was all to manipulate the world around me to my favor. Very self-centered. I found freedom from several other things. Many of those, I'd either be dead in prison or in prison. I'm fully convinced, and I've shared that before. But I found freedom from those. The thing is, I know that many of you probably say, maybe, yeah, I've felt that, or maybe I haven't. And you might be struggling with things. You might say, I've not found that power in the resurrection you're talking about. I don't have all the answers to that. I have a lot of answers, but I don't have all the answers to that. And I just can't preach a message like this without saying, yes, we still often feel a real struggle in there, but there's freedom. And there's many ways, many paths to freedom. God is multifaceted. You know, God is so big, and he has so many ways. We often get focused on one way, which again, that's why if we're reading the word, we're hearing other people's testimonies, some of those things I mentioned, we can often find some of those things that God has for us. But I just have to say that, you know, many people haven't found those things. I have not found it, as I've just mentioned. When it comes to eating, I've done better and worse at times. I think I'm on a place where I'm doing better, generally speaking, right now. I just want to say that you know that. And I just want to give two things, a little plug for two things. First of all, and you can come and find out, but our men's breakfast, we're going to be talking about overcoming some bondages in our lives. We're having the men's breakfast. As most of you men know, we were going to do it. We have a date now. So June 11th. Men, mark it on your calendar. June 11th, we're going to be having a meeting. I'd recommend, if you want to hear about how to overcome some bondages, come out. We're going to be talking about some of the ways to do that. Also, Anya is working on putting together a ministry to help those with addiction. Drugs, whatever it might be, it's probably going to focus mostly on drugs, but whatever addiction you might have. Rather holistic thing. It's really cool. She has a whole big thing she drew up. Really pretty cool. If you're interested in helping her with that, interested in supporting it, even if you're not an addict or a former addict, there's ways you could help support that. I'd say get in with her. But I just tell you, we do want to not just go, oh, Christ died for you and has freedom. Why aren't you free? There's ways that this happens. And again, I have a combination of things that I was set free from immediately. I have other things that have been a struggle. So, and there's other things that I've struggled through and worked and gotten the freedom. So, I mean, there's many, many ways and different things. So, and I can only skim the surface of these things in this message. So, we could do a whole series on these topics. So I will tell you, I do have one answer besides those things that I will tell you that just, if you want to sum up most of the other answers, I'm just going to read out of 2 Corinthians 3:17. It says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. If we are walking in the Spirit, following the Spirit of God, we will find freedom. If I were to ask God about what I should eat every time I go to eat, I'd probably find better freedom in my eating habits. But you know what? I often don't on purpose because I know what he'd say. I know what the Spirit of God would tell me. I'm just being straight and honest. There's times even I have that thought. I'm like, oh, maybe I should pray about whether I should do this. And I'm like, maybe I don't want to, you know. I'm just being honest. Trying to be straight and honest, as much as you might hope that I would never do that. But if we could live by the Spirit, when we get into those situations, have the Spirit of God speak to us about, go there, don't go there. Hang out with these people. These people are good for you. Don't hang out with these people. They're bad for you. All the different things, we could find freedom. So if there's one thing I want to tell you, almost every other thing fits into that one category as far as finding a path to freedom if you're struggling, is live by the Spirit. Live in the power and freedom that comes through the resurrection of Jesus, because you were resurrected also with him. So another thing that we were freed from is the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin. Romans 6:23. By the way, Kelly was saying today, but the Romans 6 is just, it's just foundational. If you, you know, you just have to read all of Romans 6. It's just amazing. But the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. We no longer have to worry about our eternity. That is freedom. That is freedom. Now, we may get excited because we go, oh, I'll live in heaven with Jesus. But no, that's freedom even here now. I know people of other faiths that live their whole life in a bondage to their religion. I mean, I'm not necessarily saying it's bad, like these horrible things, but, and even some sections of Christianity have certain things. Do I pray enough? Do I do enough good? Do I sacrifice to God in the correct way? You have all these things. All of these things. And do we even pray to the right God? Hinduism, and like they're all worried about, oh, if I have this problem, I need to pray to this God, and you do this and that. It's just, that's bondage. Man, to worry up and keep up with all that, that's not freedom. Man, that is not freedom. We have freedom to live life without fear. Do we do good? Yes, but for different reasons. Do we pray? Yes, for different reasons. I pray and I regularly forget. Now, I grew up, again, this is one of those, grew up Catholic, and even though if we really get into their theology, it's not exactly like this, but I got the impression that if I did any sin without confessing it to the priest, and then I died, I was going to hell. That was bondage. I'm walking around in bondage, worrying about that. That was not a freedom. That was not a life of freedom. Even if I did find freedom from things, that's not a life of freedom. That is living in bondage. We have a life of freedom. The penalty of sin is no longer there. That's a life of freedom. So you worried about, oh, I didn't pray today, so if I get in a car wreck, something, I might go to hell, or my life's falling apart, or all that. No. If you get to pray, you just pick it up the next day. That's freedom. If you do something wrong, you go and deal with it. That's freedom. Hey, just deal with it. You don't have to run around worrying all this. You just deal with it. That's freedom. That is freedom. So I'll just say in here, the last one of these is the guilt and shame of sin. We've been freed from that. I'm just going to read a quote here from Clarence L. Haynes, Jr. This, being the guilt and shame, is one of the biggest weapons of our enemy, Satan, encouraging you to look back at the shameful moments of your past. When you do, you can be overwhelmed by guilt, shame, and condemnation. This will ultimately strip your joy, rob your peace, and destroy your vitality. So if you've been listening, because it's sort of a newer thing for me in my however many years been doing this, about 10 years ago, I just started to have some revelations about some of the shame. But I believe shame is the number one thing that's holding at least the church in the U.S. back. I believe it's shame is the big thing. And while I don't have a lot of time to go on up, and a lot of you have already heard me, my small group, we even talked about it on Thursday night. But I'm just going to read back here, go back to Genesis. It says, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" So I'm just going to tell you right now, as you're struggling with freedom, this is huge. Who's the source of our freedom? Okay. All right. And here, what did Adam and Eve do? God's all-knowing, right? Did he know that they already sinned? Yeah, he already knew. Was God running away from them? Was he hiding his face from them? No. He went into the garden. They're the ones who hid. That's what shame does to us. I tell you, I know, I not only know, just because of statistics, I know, and many of you I've already talked to, there's already a couple of people I'm trying to help get free from this. But that whole idea of shame is holding people back. Why? Because when they get ashamed, they get shame over their sin, they run away from the source that can help them. They run away from the source that can help them. And God, through the death, we were buried with him and we were resurrected, and that sin is gone. So we have no need to run away from God because of shame. We can run to him when we feel shame. Let him embrace us. All right, so what has he freed us to? It's freedom to live. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, John 10:10. Or have it more abundantly, it might be a way that some people know that verse. And I'll just tell you this, again, back to the bachelor parties, Art and I were talking, Kelly was up on a zip line, and Art and I were talking, and but he's like, "This is just so much fun." And I said, "Yeah, it's amazing. You know, I used to think I had fun when I was out doing drugs and all this other stuff, but this is just fun. This is good fun. This is living life to its fullest. Living life to its fullest." Even though we were out there getting, it was pouring down rain and we're riding through go-karts, and the go-kart car, the thing had big puddles in it, and we were soaked, but still, it was living life to its fullest. It was. It isn't about what you can do. It's about the fact that you can enjoy life without bondage. I've enjoyed much of the sin over the years, before Christian and all that, and much of the sin. I enjoyed a lot of it, but it really wasn't living. It was temporary. We can live a life with full of money, drugs, food, but all those things need to be sustained, and they have side effects. And again, we go on and on about the side effects, and you go, even with money, what side effect does that have? Well, a lot of times how you got the money means that you hurt people or subjected people or things. And so, I mean, again, I could go on and on about that. But we have these side effects. They all need to be sustained. We can have a life and have it to the fullest. We don't need to have, we can live a life, the resurrection, that doesn't have all those side effects. Just like that night, even though I went home and I was tired, but because we had so much fun, but I didn't wake up with a hangover. I didn't wake up needing to do anything else. It was just fun. And also, one of the things about this life, when we have God living with us, when we have lived this resurrected life, is that we can have this abundant life in the midst of difficult times because of the power of the resurrection. Doesn't matter where gas prices are. Doesn't matter whether I have food on the table or can pay my rent or, you know, whatever it is, I can still have an abundant life in Jesus Christ through the resurrection. So last thing here, freedom to serve. Freedom to serve. This is huge. This is huge, at least huge to me to think about where I'm going with this. It's humbling to think, but Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God has not just set you free, but he set you free with a purpose. He set you free with a purpose. You have been approved for a job with the ultimate boss. Pre-approved. Right there. Prepared in advance for us to do. Pre-approved. For the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you can work for him because of the resurrection. No job application needed. Amen. No background check. If you're not qualified, he'll give you the tools to complete the job.
Amen.
This is freedom. This is freedom. This is living a life of freedom. So if you've decided, I'll just tell you, if you've decided to be part of grace, short term, long term, if you're still figuring it out, and it's a maybe, I tell you what, we'd love to try and help you find whatever job God has for you. Even if it's outside of the church. I mean, I'm not like trying to promote our coming to this. We'd love to help you find out. The Bible talks about the leaders of the church, that we are here to equip the saints for works of service. That's in Ephesians 4, right after this. So we'd love, it would be our honor to come along and help you, no matter where you are in your journey. We would love to help each one of you figure out, what's this job that I have that God has for me? What is this work that he has for me? And that's freeing. To me, that's freeing and amazing that I can work for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It even ties in, so much just ties into all of it, but we have, what are our purpose, our statement there? Three things. Love, grow, and go. There we go. Which one, what I just talked about there, what do you think this one fits into? Love, grow, or go? Go, I heard go. I did hear grow, but they're all sort of intertwined. It's not necessarily a wrong answer. That's part, us going is part of us growing in Christ. Us going is also part of us loving Christ. So they're sort of intertwined. But love, grow, go. We would love to help you figure out how God wants you to go. We would love to figure that out. So just come to a close. What I want you to do, the worship team can come up. We're going to be taking communion. Just let you take it on your own. I just want to, as we're doing that, I just want you to contemplate. This is just a great time to just stop and contemplate what the communion's about. It's about the resurrection. Us being buried with Christ. Him giving his life for us. And then the power that's there in the resurrection. And just as before you take it, I just ask all of you to take a time. For some, it might be 5 seconds. Maybe you already know what it is. But take time, 5 seconds, 5 minutes, and just say, where do I need the power of this resurrection to live a free life? Where do I need freedom? Where do I need freedom? Where do I need to tap into this power? And just contemplate, and then just ask God, say, hey, through what we're doing here, I just ask for this power, for you to help me to find freedom. So Lord, as we just continue with our service, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts, each and every one of us, in the way that only you can do, that doesn't have shame, that accepts us, that draws us in, that empowers us. Lord, come and speak to us right now as we continue to worship and as we participate in Holy Communion. Amen.